You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf from Masechet Chulin is Daf Tzadi Zayin. And we were holding in the middle of the sugya. In fact, why don't we just start from the Gemara and Tzadik Vav Amid Beis just to get back into it. So our Mishnah has told us that if we cook a Gidah Nosha in the Yorech, where it had grown, and they forgot to take it out, so it's dependent on a notinta. So in other words, if the way that we work it out, says the Mishnah, is we take a look at it as if it is basar, and we see the thigh in which it's in as being turnip, and if it would give taste into that, then it's considered to be no tinta. So in the Gemara, let us begin. The only thing the Mishnah is talking about is boiling, but if you had broiled it, then you would be able to just keep slicing away, like shvarma, pieces of the meat until you get down to the level of the meat, and you'd be able to eat. Any, is that so? The Amr of Unagadish at Solo Bechabo Asur Lachol Afilu Mirosh Ozno. I thought that we learned that if a Gedi had been cooked with its own chelev, then that chelev, and this is nitzlet, so it was broiled, that chelev gets all around, even goes all the way up to the tippy top of its ear. Despite the fact that's a very long way from where the chelev is. Why don't we say the same thing then by the Gid? And understand that the Mishnah is talking about not only Bishol, but even Tzuliyah. And it says the Gemara, Shani Chelev de Mifa'afeya. Chelev is the type of thing that melts, and it makes its way through. It's extremely vicus, makes its way through the entire animal, attaches itself through every single piece of meat, and goes all the way up, even to the ear. To which the Gemara asks, V'chelev asur, V'yomar Rabba Barbachanu uv le'avik amid Rabbi Yochanan b'knish d'ma'on. Is it true that with chelev it would be asur? Didn't Rabba Barbachanu report an event in the Beit HaKnesset of Ma'on where they had broiled a gedi b'chelbo, they hadn't removed the chelev, and they broiled it whole? They came to ask Rabbi Yochanan what the din is, and according to you, of course, the din should be that chelev is mifafeya, and all things should be asur. And instead, what he said to them was, keep slicing it off the way you would shvarma, and you eat until you get to the chelev. By the way, we pointed out that when we learned it, because we're still reviewing, we pointed out when we learned it that that doesn't mean literally to the chelev itself, because there's a shiur, a klipa, that you'd have to take off around the chelev, which we're going to get to later, but that's what it means.
It's still there as well, isn't it?
It's a different case. That's one. This case was chelov. The case in the Mishnah was.
So it doesn't say if they took out the gid or not.
They had removed the gid. Answered the Gemara with kochush. And that was a kochush animal. And we had two pirushim in that. Rabbi Natan says kochush could mean that the type of chelov that grows in an animal that's kochush doesn't mivafeya, so it doesn't spread. Or kochushavit, it wasn't that much chelev in it, because it was a very lean animal. It wasn't that much chelev in it. It became bottle, as opposed to the normal case, where there would be enough. Halachically speaking, we are machalic between the tendency of a thing to be mivafeya or not, and because the Rishonim say we're not bekiyim in what is considered to be kachush, so obviously, according to the first approach of the Rebbe Nadam, we don't have a way of defining it properly where we cannot be make.
But
the truth is that's only, of course, if it's something that is oily. If it's not oily at all, it's not an oily kind of thing, let's say chomet got boiled stuff. And obviously, you're not going to say we're not kiyim in kachush. I mean, it's not an oily substance. It means oily substance. We're now came into house. Okay, this is where we had gotten up. Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar, this is the new Gemara today. Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar, the case over there in the Bnei Knishta de Ma'on was a reference to a kulia. It was a kidney that had been broiled in its chelev. And that's what he was matir.
Broiled or boiled?
Broiled. And that's what he was matir. The reason he's matir that is because the chelev of the kidney has a thick membrane between it and the kidney. And because of that, it doesn't penetrate. Mashenke, the cases of the chalav that we were talking about in the Gedi, would have gotten through the entire Gedi. There was a fascinating shuva of Rav Meisher, that is Somach on Islamora, where somebody had broiled a chicken and had forgotten to remove the liver, which is always put in this little plastic bag inside the chicken. They were supposed to remove it. Well, they forgot to remove it. So Rav Moshe said, the plastic bag is no different than the membrane in this Gemara. The Gemara says it's no problem because there's a membrane there of the kohen. So plastic bags acts as a membrane. It's a modern day psaka. Rabin bar Rav Ada Omar, kilkit beilfis habe. Actually, the case over there now, most of Shabbat is that he's not substituting the case because it's a completely different case. He's just saying there were a lot of piskei halachas that Rabbi Yochanan had pasked and they knished in my own. One of those cases was a kilkit, which is a tummy fish, which had fallen into a pot that they were cooking their dinner in. And they came and asked Rabbi Yochanan what to do. Thing to do is to get a goyish chef to taste it. And you ask him what it tastes like to him, and of course he can't know that you are relying on him for kashrus, then he may play games with you. But since he is anxious to show you how sensitive he is to taste, you know, ask him, what does this taste like to you? If he doesn't taste the kilkit in it, so then it's okay.
You can eat it.
Then you can eat it.
It's
bittul. Yeah, that would be the shear of bittul. This is no tom. A chef should know if there's tom. He certainly is anxious to
get the fish out the remains first.
No, we're talking about where it was dissolved. Out or it dissolved. Either way, like the case we said before. So one of the problems that are in the sugya over here, the kilchis, the ilvis, which would mean it was a dug tummy that had fallen into a lot of meat, is that we seem to be ignoring the other issue, which is the danger, where we don't eat fish with meat because it's kasher b'litzarah, according to Chazal. And the question is that there's a taz, a tarkimesha, that both say that you don't rely on bittul when it comes to sakona. So then the question is, how can you rely on the bittul of the chilkis? For this is a raya that you can be mevatel, even something that's a sakona. Right? This is all kinds of answers. There's some who learn that the chashash of sakona is only with a dog tahor, not with a dog tameh. So that we never saw anywhere that there's a chalal, an issue. Okay, that's one approach. There are others who say that there's a difference between the place where the darkimation that Taz is discussing is the din of mayim meguli. So over there, Chazal don't give a shir. You can have a tiny poison, a snake, how much venom is in a snake, and you can have a bathtub full of water. So apparently it's not batal b'shisha. Okay. So those are machalic between the poison of the snake, which is very chamor, or an issue that can affect your health. We're over there, obviously, it requires a certain amount of, solid molecular presence. But the most fabulous, beautiful, it's such a classic Roger Trovatari, the Zafnas Maneach. When you hear it, you say, what was I thinking? Mamish, what was anybody thinking? Pure goodness. There's nothing dangerous about a chilbit. There's nothing dangerous. The dangerous is in the mixture. First, you got to determine whether it's a mixture. That's the point. So in this case, what they're talking about is where you have a poison. Now, can you reduce a poison in a shishin, in mayo, whatever? No. Fine, that's a sakana, because the poison is a sakana. Over here, nobody ever said that fish is dangerous. It's the mixture of fish and meat that's dangerous. What's called a mixture? A mixture is called something that's detectable, just like the din of the time. So if it's not a mixture, it's not a mixture. You know, don't get into the issue at all. It's so clear. It's so great. Okay. Anyway, so moving on. Now, again, in terms of the modern day application test, we don't rely, the Ashkenazim B'chol don't rely on tasting of Goyim. Rav Avadya Yosef says you can rely on it for the Sephardim. He would suggest an Ashkenazi has a problem, we should give the meat to the Sephardim. Let him ask. but he's also, only when there's some hefsed, he's to rely on. But in any event, where this is really very nogea is the shaila of responses by factories, manufacturers, about the kashrus of their product. Based on this gemara, Rav Moshe was matir, for instance, grape juice. As the factory said that they boiled the grapes, not the juice. In other words, they didn't first take the juice out of the grape. They boiled the entire mixture, took a whole pile, boiled the whole mixture, and then put it through a filter. In which case, there was never a time where it could have become usur because of stam yayin. It was never yayin. It was always boiled, even back in the beginning. So, since a factory is definitely interested in protecting its integrity, and they're going to give you false information for many reasons. I can't give you false information. Because of that, it's a use you can ask a factory to be simich on their responses. It's not worse than the case over here. And there obviously did not have to be misyeh kitumah. There's also there were laws that protected. They would be afraid of false advertising and sued. So on my Rava, based on this psak of Rabbi Yochanan, I finally understand the bright. Mirei Shavek Akasha always used to worry about what the meaning is of the following bright. If you had a pot, and you cook meat in this pot, you should not cook milk in this pot. The in bishel, and if you do, then the shiur, that tells you whether it's osur to eat it or not, is benotain tam. So if there's a taste of meat in the milk, you're not allowed to eat it. Of course, the problem is, who's going to do that? How are you going to taste it? Truma, lo yavasha b'chulin. If a pot had been used for cooking truma, then don't use it to cook chulin. V'im bishel, if you did, then benotein tam. So it always bothered me. Bishlama truma tam la koi. You could always ask a kohen to taste the pot, and then, of course, he'll lie to you and tell you, oh, it tastes very truma-like to me. But if he tells you it doesn't taste truma-like,
no.
Never.
Can't tell him what it was.
So, in any event, I understand that if he says it doesn't taste like truma, you definitely trust him, right? But who in the world is going to taste the basar v'cholav? And the truth is, it's a little bit strange because, I mean, all the cases, this is not the first, what do you mean, has to bring this bright? We've had many cases where we said it's been benotein tam when we're talking about iser. Why wasn't he bothered by it before? The Tosa says it's the juxtaposition of the truma and this. Where normally we would say, look, the words benotein tam doesn't mean benotein tam. It means the shirvech b'shishim, which is the standard notein tam. Doesn't mean literally you see it whether it has the taste. But in this praita, where you put it together with truma, it literally means see the what about truma means literally. So therefore, it certainly appears if we're talking about literally. So who's going to taste it? Because he didn't think you could rely on a kapila arma, that you could rely on a goyish chef. Now, hash dem Rabbi Yochanan sabchidinat kapila arma. Now that Rabbi Yochanan said that we will rely on a goyish chef, so fine, then I understand. That's what the bright man talking. I miss samchinan a kapila arma. Where's the Rama? Rama doesn't allow Ashkenazim to do this because they all know why you're asking them. They're on to us. They're more Jewish than we are. They'll lie to you through their teeth. So if you buy this fire, it wasn't that way. Now, the whole question, now who is going to taste it, implies that there's a problem with tasting. Now, generally speaking, we don't view te'ima, let's say when it comes to a tainus. Today, you have a tainus, and you're allowed to be there. You're cooking. You want to see if it tastes okay. You're allowed to put it into your mouth, send it out. That would be Dima, you're allowed to. So why is he saying, gee, no, who's going to taste the buzz of a call of it? What? Mashman, that there's an Isser in Dima. It's a long discussion whether that's the makor of that Isser. The makor of that Isser, Chatzi Shir, but then it would have to be that you swallow it. And why swallow it? So there are some who learn that the taste that we're talking about over here, that is sufficient to rely on, that it has or doesn't have the taste of Isser, it's not enough to just put it into your mouth and spit it out. You only get the full impact of the taste by swallowing. So if that would be the case, then it would be also because of Chatzi Shir, which is what we're going to discuss very soon in the sugya coming up. Others learn for some reason that there's an Isser without explaining what the makor would be. There's an Isser even in Te'ima when it comes to Isser. This is not called Achila. So some say it's a Derabbanan to keep you away from maybe swallowing it. It's not clear at all what the makor would be for such an Isser if we're talking about not swallowing it. However, if it comes to just putting your tongue in something, almost everybody is matir. Now, for instance, suppose you have a problem with a piece of meat. It's Erev Shabbos, not much time. You don't know whether the meat was salted. Can you lick the meat, see if it's salty, or do you have to be chayish for the dam that's on it? So there you're not even taking it to your mouth. You're licking it. Okay. There, almost everybody's mind, particularly if there's a tzarek mitzvah like Kabba Shabbos, so like that, there's certainly no gezerah that you're going to come to eat up. Yomar Rava. And actually, it works out very well the way Rava brings it out, that there are times, as Rava says, that the Rabbanan said it is a function of ta'am, without giving on to the goy. The Yomar Rabbanan Bekapila. There are other times, like Rabbi Yochanan's case, where they said you have to ask a goy, Mesiach Lefitumo, who's a chef. And there's sometimes when the Rabbanan said Beshishim, that notain ta'am is 1 in 60. And here's how it goes. Here it comes. If two things of dissimilar taste, so you have min b'she'eno mina, and we're talking about where there's no iser tera, it's hetera. So that's the case that we had before, like truma, v'chula, where it's heter, as long as it's a kohen who's doing it, so then you can go and taste it. That's taima. If it was min b'she'eno mina, where it's discernible taste, but it's iser, so you can taste it, so then you ask the kapila. If it's min b'mina, the same substance. So there's no way that you will know whether you're tasting the yisr or the heter. And over there, leker lameka mataima, there's no way for us to be aimed on the taste exactly. Or even it's a case of min b'sheino mino, but it's talking about yisr and there's no kapila nachra around. So what's the shear? The stam shear is b'shishi. So then 1/60 is what you're saying. It's interesting that Rashi is the only one that I know of among all the Rishonim who later on says that the Shishim is above and beyond. In other words, that's the minimum. The Taima is that's going to answer it even if it's a Shishim, instead of vice versa. Like this, all the other Rishonim learn, if there's no taste, so it's fine. I don't care what the portion is, there's no taste. I don't care if it's 1 and 2. If there's no taste, there's no taste. 1 in 60 is if you can't be aiming on the taste, so then you need 1 in 60 to be certain that it's rotten. But Rashi learns, as we'll see tomorrow, exactly the opposite. That even if you have 1 in 60, if it's possible to taste it, and then it's awesome. So then you would have to go to a kapila nochra. You wouldn't be able to be saimach on it, which is, the pasht is different than the simple meaning of the sugya. That we'll see later. Hanuat Mahata, the Imluchu Beresh Galuta Begidat Nashe. There were a number of animals, sides, that had been altogether been put into salting in the Resh Galuta's home with the Gidat Nashe before they had taken it, they put her already into. And the question was, okay, what do we do now? So Ravina said, well, it's too bad. You can't do anything. It's all osur. Whereas Rav Acha, is the Gersa of Moses, Rav Acha was matirat. They went and were shayel Marbar Rav Ashi. And Marbar Rav Ashi said, well, my father Rav Ashi was matirat. So Rav Acha, Barav, went to ask Ravina what it was that he thought he was doing when he osured. My God, take, what were you thinking? The Omar Shmuel Maliach Hareyoki Roteach Kavush Hareyoki Mevushal. Is it because of the Psak of Shmuel that when something is salted, it has a din as if it's boiling hot? And if something is pickled, it has a din as if it was cooked together. But Shmuel himself explained that's Loshono Elashin Nidbashelba. Remember? What did Shmuel say in the Mishnah? That a gid anasha that was boiled in, that's how to understand cooked, boiled, was boiled in the thigh, then it's a problem of nesin tam. But if it was nitzlaba, if it was broiled in the thigh, then you just cut away pieces until you get up to the gid, like a shvarma, sekola v'okhala shabagil a gid. Now don't try to tell me, what are you going to try to tell me? You're going to try to tell me, yeah, it says over it's boiling hot. Maybe it means it's boiling hot as if it was boiled, not boiling hot when it's maluach as if it was broiled. No, it can't mean that. Because v'chi tam, if you try to tell me that when Shmuel said it was roteach when it's salted, he meant it was roteach as if it was boiled, the mevushal, that's impossible because the very next words are, if it was pickled, then it's like it was mevushal. So if there was a liquid in which it was sitting, the yisr and heter together, then if it's sitting for enough time, we'll see the dinim later on, then it's considered to be mevushal. But that implies that the first part of Shmuel's statement, which said roteach, is like hot, it didn't mean hot like boiling. It meant hot like roasting, in which case you should be able. Why did you tell them that they're not allowed to eat it? They should be able to be kalef until they get up to that part. Kasha, that is indeed a big problem for Ravina's psak.
Isn't the salting to get better?
Yeah, it's the question what the maliach is. We're going to see over what the shear of maliach has to be. Enu necha machmas milchos. We'll see later on. Right now, I mean, normally when we talk about maliach, we mean to preserve. Right. Okay. We're going to see exactly what the shear of maliach is. Oh, thank you for bringing it up. Omar Rabbi Chanina. Let me tell you something. When we say 60, that 60 is not just in the piece. That 60 includes misharin in the sauce, bekipa, that's the rota, bekipa, which is the gravy, and in all of the other pieces that are inside of that pot, bechatichot, and in the pot itself, ubekedera. Oh, so now the question is, what does that mean? Ikiriyamri bekedera atzma. Some learn it means literally in the pot, meaning in the thickness of the pot, because the bliya gets is absorbed by the pot too. So you can't say, well, it all went into the piece. Why would it all go into the piece? Some of it went into the liquid, some of it went into the gravy, some of it went into the pot. And others say the ikedamri the maidibal akidera. That no. You have to estimate what it was that has been absorbed by the kedera. But you can't assume that the entire thickness of the pot, as Tosis points out, this is a little ridiculous. Let's imagine a case where you have a pot that is very thick, and that the shear of displacement of that pot would be the size of 50 zetim. Now you put in a little bit of water into the pot, 10 zetim. Now you're telling me a kezias of iser falls in, that's going to be 60? You're honestly thinking that it's that water is not going to absorb the taste because it's all going to go into the side of the pot. But it's just unreasonable to believe such a thing. Obviously, there's going to be a taste in that water. I mean, from experientially, that's the way it works. It doesn't go into the pot in the same way. So Tosis learns that the only case that we're referring to when we raise this possibility is where there was no iser be'en at all. What had happened was that the pot had been used to cook. Let's say so it was a kezias of cholov that was in the pot. And that's what, it's in there. So it was balua from different things, right? It was balua both from heter and from iser. That means we will be mevatel, we will use the part that's in the kedera to be mevatel, the part of the chalev that had been absorbed in it. But not where there's actually a piece of chalev in it. We're going to say that that piece goes into the side. It's the blia that was in it that we will estimate in the kedera itself. Okay, so some say that it means that, or others learn that it means that we basically estimate it. So let's say we saw that when it fell in, there was a certain amount there, and then it's been boiling, and some of it has obviously turned into steam, but there's other that has been absorbed in the kedera. Okay, how much was absorbed in the kedera? Because that part that was absorbed in the kedera can be used in the original bittel. So you can assume, let's say, 3 ounces were absorbed by the pot, and another 6 ounces was mitaden steam. That type of thing is what it's referring to. So it's an estimate. Omer Rabbi Abahu, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yisurin Shebet Torah, obviously except for the Gidon Asher, in order to estimate the nature of Notein Ta'am, Misha'arina Ki'iluin Batzal V'Kaplot. What we do is we say, look, let's take a maximal taste, onion, leek. Now, onions and leek are very pungent. So if this meat, let's say, is the size of 2 kezesim, take 2 kezesim of onion, would that onion have given taste into the remaining meat? Yeah, okay. It depends, obviously, how much there is. Now, this excludes the case of Gidon Asher, which obviously has a weaker taste. That's the whole problem. We're over there. We said, let's look at it as meat and turnip, which is certainly going to be much harder to detect than batzal, right? Okay, now, the problem is that the shiur that we're going to see that Reb Nachman gives in a moment of the Gidon Asher is Echad B'Shishim, which is that the standard of Basar in turnip is Echad B'Shishim. But this is a great deal more than Shishim, the onion, because you'll definitely detect onion in more than Shishim. So that would mean that our standard sack of Shishim is again, Reb Yochanan clearly doesn't hold of Shisha.
It's a different din, separate.
It's not a separate din. He doesn't hold of the Psak, because we hold, because in the end we say always Surin or B'Shisha. In which case we're paskening not like Reb Yochanan. And halakhah l'maaseh, we do follow Rava, who's the one who says only Surin b'Torah B'Shisha, because he's the Basra. But it's very interesting that initially we had different shiurim. Amar le Rabbi Abba. I mean, if you're looking, you're telling me we're going to take onions because they're pungent, and I can think of things that are a heck of a lot more powerful than onions. I mean, so why not use black pepper or something, or some really good jalapeno? Yeah? So why not use pupil in her tablet? That feel be elephant about. I mean, let's make it 1,000 to 1. Well, you know, it depends how hot it is. I mean, where do you get the idea of using onions? Omar Lay, the point is not to find the most pungent. The point is that the Chachamim, having examined things that would be osir, I mean, not everything is shayach to be isir. So Shiaru Chachamim, the inotim tam be isurim, yoter be batzav kaput. There's nothing that's going to be more pungent than that. So Mamela, if you want to make a standard,
and the things that are
shayach to isir, because of that, they made that distinction. Reb Nachman, the gid, when we estimate the shishim, it's the gid is in the 60, right? But you don't include the gid, obviously. It's 62.1. Okay, but interestingly, when it comes to an udder, now there you've got a problem, because the udder has all of the milk that's in the tiny glands that is difficult to get out. And if you cook an udder, you're cooking basically milk and meat. So where the udder is cooked together with other meat is a whole question. We won't get into it now. The etzem cholav of a behema shchuta is not really osur midiraisa as basur b'cholav. It's only osur midirabbana. So
it's
no, they extended the
day.
No, and here you cooked it in a pot of meat. You cooked the udder in a pot of meat, and it included the milk that's in it. So the din over there is that the kal is going to be bottle b'shishim, and the kal itself is min haminyan. You include, because the only thing that's usher is the milk, because there's a tiny amount of milk. So the milk absorbed the taste of the meat, but the meat didn't absorb the taste of the milk. So therefore, we do have the shishim.
Milk absorbed.
It was a little bit of milk, so that milk tastes very meaty. But that little bit of milk didn't make the meat taste milky. There's tons of it there. So there we include the kal in the shishim. And we're going to get into this in a minute. An egg, which we think right now means a non-kosher egg. So you mix an egg with other eggs. So you would need b'shishim. And it would need 60 besides the non-kosher egg. So let's go now into each one of these cases. The business about the kal, you got to know that the kal itself is actually osur. And if it would fall into another pot, then it would also osur the other pot.
The kal that was
cooked in a pot of meat, it becomes osur. So what Tosfos learns is that what you would have thought the problem is over here is that because of the fact that the milk is next to the kal, so the area of the kal itself is considered to be basur b'chol and became a heftz of isur. But that is clearly impossible, because then we would need 60 besides the kal, so then it would be a contradiction mineyube. Therefore, he says, the point over here is not because there's more milky taste in the kal than there is in anything else. It's because either a process that is going to end at one point, beheter, since if you took it immediately, let's say that before the milk gets a chance to spread out, then you would be eating the milk of basur b'cholav in this kal. Through the usr. We don't allow, therefore, to wait until the end of the process, because we're worried that you're going to eat it before. So specifically, in this case, it was usr, because you may do it too quickly. Fine. There's another reason which gets into halacha that we haven't even discussed yet, which is the question of efshar l'sochato, which means if you have something that's osir and then it's subsequently removed, like the case over here, you have the milk that is osir and you squeeze it out, so to speak, because when it's in the rest of the pot, then that milk gradually gets out of the kal and goes through the entire pot. Now there's no longer a taste anywhere of basar v'chala. So this is a question whether something that's efshel sorto is mutter or us. Yeah, doesn't matter. However, in this case, that's what you did. You put it in, it's got a lot of different pieces in it. So the point over here is that when you start cooking it, this milk becomes osir, right? And because it immediately gets the taste of the meat, it's a little bit of milk, immediately gets very, very meaty. And then, if you hold efshel sorto remains osir, that once something has gotten that taste, we're not matter because now we spread out the taste further. Okay, so then it could be that over here that would be the reason. But even if not, he says we still have to osir it here because you may do it earlier. Now, you'll ask if that's the case, why don't we say that klal everywhere? Remember, we had a problem before where we have blood. Let's say we have a piece of meat that was very blood and obviously had gotten wounded when it was alive or something. Say if you put it over the coals, it'll take out all the blood. So what? Maybe you'll eat it before it does. Mm-hmm. So why don't we have this rule all over that we should say a dafka by the klal? So Tosis says because that the norm is that when you broil something, it's to get out blood. But over here, when you're cooking meat, the norm is not to get out milk that's inside gumot in a piece of the meat. So this is a very unique kind of situation. Because of that, chazal asr. But it's not because the kal itself was asr, because then we're going to have a ridiculous contradiction. How can we include the kal itself in the shishim if you're telling me the kal itself is asr because of, let's say, chatikadasis nevelas we discussed yesterday? So there's got to be some other reason that we can utilize the kal, but to be matir in terms of the total volume, but we cannot eat the kal itself. So the reason you cannot eat the kal itself is because you may eat it while there's still milk in the gumot. So the kal itself is osur. What's more, even if it falls into another pot, it's going to osur what's in the other pot. And this we'll discuss in a moment. So Rav Ashi says, Ki avina be Rav Kahana. When we were learning by Rav Kahana, we were wondering, when you say that you have 60, 60 meaning what? Is it 60 keneged the milk in the kal? Or do we take the entire volume of the kal as the given amount of milk? So is it b'didei misharinan, or b'divide nafak b'nei misharinan? Well, he told us, pshita to b'didei misharinan. We have no way of estimating even the amount of milk that's there. So if we say that there's a shear, it's got to be the shear of the entire volume. Cavities, people? So pshita to b'didei misharinan, diba b'divide nafak minoyadin, how should we know? Ask the Gemara if that's the case. Ela, if that's the case, miata nafala kedera acheret lo yaser. Why would it aser if it falls into something else? Now, how does that follow? Ela miata. So Tosu says it could be that the ela miata is going back to the original case. In other words, if you're telling me that the kal is included in the 60, how could it possibly itself answer something else? So it's going back to the opening of the statement, not to what it is that we just finished reading. Because if it itself is included, it means you don't hold that the kal is considered to be something of itzer. It's only usr, as I explained, because we're afraid maybe the kalav inside of it is going to asr. So then if that's the case, since in the end the chalav went out in the first pot where it fell in, why if it falls into a second pot, would it be considered to be asr? The isr is only a chumrah because you may eat it before it had really gotten a chance to get rid of the chalav. But you shouldn't asr it based on the entire volume of the kal. Rashi learns that elama ata means that since you're telling me now that we're going to take the entire volume of the kal. And nonetheless, if we have 60 keneged, the volume of the kal, including the kal itself, that it's going to be mutter, then obviously what you're saying is that whatever milk that was in the kal is considered to have spread through the entire thing. So then how could you possibly take the volume of the kal and asr it when it falls into the second kedera, if the whole point was that it's already spread through the entire first kedera? It makes no sense. You can't keep doing that. Kivan d'amar. Kivan d'amar Rav Yitzchak Bereder Mesharsha, that chal atzmo is considered to be asur, even though that itself is a gezerah, because this does explain to the chashash of eating the chalav. Shavyua rabbonin kichaticha nevela. Once he said that, so the Rabbanan viewed this kal itself as an isser, a different isser, an isser of eating a kal that's been cooked with milk. But lamaisa doesn't change the fact that the basar of the kal itself is included in the total volume. It's that we continuously look at it as if it has in it volume of milk that will answer something else. Because otherwise there's no way to stick with the gezerah. Either you're going to say we have a real chashash, that there's milk in there, and that that's basar b'chalav, or not. You can't tell people that you can't eat a kal, but you can if it goes in the second time. So why can't I eat it the first time? So therefore it really boils down to one takara that they have to make. And you should always look at it as if it itself is aser. Lamaisa, for those who are making an estimation of the total volume, it's not obviously contradictory to say that it's 59 to 1 instead of 60 to 1. Because 60 in total is kosher.
It can be eaten, right?
Can be eaten, yeah, sure. But we'll see later on how it is. You can eat, you have to remove the chalav.
Are supposed to chambers or alveola?
Yes, alveola. Right. Thank alveola. You. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, once you have Uncle Art, can you see whether he translates kapalotes as leeks or does he give it some other? Because it's not clear.
Alveola, yeah, alveola isn't specifically to utter, though. It's in lung as well. Once you kind of pack,
seems like
ruminant.
Leek. Okay, I mean that's a simple approach to kapalot. But
yeah.
All right, fine. Omalei Ravidi Bar Rav and Labai. What we said a moment ago, we said the third case was if there's an egg, now we assume that the egg means there's an egg of a non-kosher bird, right? And it falls into other eggs. So then it's 60 to 1. I don't understand. You're telling me that eggs give a taste to other eggs? Maybe do you have any timer?
In
their shells. Don't people, when they want to say that something doesn't have any taste at all, they say, man, that soup tastes like it's mei beitzim.
Egg water.
Yeah, meaning it's got no taste. I mean, it's a little bit strange that would be the way of saying something is tasteless. And you're telling me we need shishim, keneged, the tastelessness. I don't understand. Oh, Malay, Akum Ayaskini, you're 100% right. We're talking about over here not a non-kosher egg. We're talking about an egg that has in it an embryo, so it started growing. That has a din of an avail. It doesn't matter whether it's from a kosher bird or non-kosher bird. That's the point. But in Achinami, if it would be a tmeya, an egg from a non-kosher species, then it doesn't have any kind of taste. Here it says beferish, non-kosher eggs with kosher eggs, im yesh ben benotein tam, kulam asarot. No, that's what it means. It means beitzat efroach. So why do we call it a tmeah? I call it tmeah. Because the efroach is tmeah, that's the point. Given the ipa efroach, call it tmeah. Huh? But keep reading. The Sefer says, Beitzim Shishal, kind of you boiled up a pot of eggs, and you found one of them had an embryo in it, then Im Yesh Bavanote Tam Kulam Asurot, which implies, I'm just trying great resuscitation, which implies that the Resha was talking about whether it was not an embryo, but rather where it was an actual mint man. I mean, we're introducing embryos in the Sefer, which implies that in the Resha, it's not. Answers the Gemara, it's not a problem. Because the safest pirushik on the virus, it's just there as an explanation. Meaning, let's start at the beginning. Beitzim to Rosh Hashanah, Beitzim to Meot. Im yesh b'menotetam kulan asurot. Okay, we said, to help you understand, we explained that when it says that, it means that there's an embryo. But the Braita wants to make that clear. Therefore, the Braita continues saying, Ketzad, what do I mean? Shalkan v'nimtzah frog b'achas mehem. That's what it means. By the way, you think that I'm pushing you off. Obviously, that's what it means. Because if you're going to try to tell me that the Reisha is saying, even if nothing's growing in the egg, and it's just egg water, it ossers. Gosh again, if there's an embryo in there, it ossers. That's a piece of nevela. So why would I have to say the Seifa if I already said the Reisha? Nisak daita Reisha the letba frog. See, can't you make a kav chomer? Hashta, the letba frog asur, even if there's nothing growing in there, and just the almost tasteless exudation of an egg is enough to asur kosher cake. If there's an embryo, it's going to asur dipay frog me boy. No, look, you may be right. Don't try to bring me a raya from that. Because that, I can explain away. I could say, imi shumaha lo ayri. That's not persuasive. Because it may be that the reisha is ambiguous. I don't know. Does the reisha mean an egg from a tamea bird? Or does the reisha mean an egg that has a nevela in it? An embryo in it. So therefore, it could be that the Tana wanted to put in the case in the Sefer to make it clear that the Reisha was not talking about an embryo. So you can't prove from here that the Reisha was Vada talking about an embryo. Shalotoma. Reisha, when it says a tummy egg, it means an egg to eat by a frog. But if it didn't have an ephroch in it, it would be mutter. Therefore, I continue saying the Sefer. Tana Seifa, a case where there's an actual ephroach, to make it clear to the reader that the Reisha was talking about a case where there was no ephroach, and anyway it was us. V'afilu achi asira. Now, I'm not saying that that's true. I'm just saying, I accept your explanation because it must be true, just based on the question of may, the sense of may beata. But it can't be proved internally from the structure of the Braita. That's all that I'm saying.
Yerach shenitbashel bagira nasha im yesh b'benotiv tamarizo asura ketzer misharlino take baser belefet gira nasha shenitbashel magidim bezman shemakiro b'benotiv tam v'imlav kulam asurin v'arotev b'benotiv tam v'chein chaticha shel nevela v'chein chaticha shel dag tamei shenitbashla im achatichot bezman shemakiran b'benotiv tam v'imlav kulam asurot v'arotev b'benotiv tam. Omar Shmuel, Loshana Lashnit Bashelba, Avonit Slaba, Kolefo Hel Achamagia Legideni, Yomer Vunagidish, Tolo Behelba, Sola Hola Filumi Rosh Ozno, Shine Hail of the Mifafea, Ubehail of Asur, Yomer Rabba Barbacana, Uvda Kame, the Rebiokan and the Knish to the Mahon, Begdish, Tolo Obehelbo, Viato Vishailu, the Rebiokan, Yomer, no problem, Kolefo Hel Achamagia Lechelbo. Yeah, but that was a kochush. Ravuna bar Yudah Omar, the case was kuya bechelba v'sharia because of the membrane. Ravin bar Ravada Omar, kilchit be'ilfes havu, v'yotu shalu el Rav Yochanan, v'yomar lehu, litamei kapila armo. Omar Rav emireisha v'kokash, v'yotu tadi kedera shebishel ba'basar, lo yivashel ba'chala, v'im bishel v'noten tam. Truma lo yivashel ba'chulin, v'im bishel v'noten tam. So I understood the truma, obviously, to him, like Kohen. But how in the world could you get anybody to taste the Basar B'chola? Man ta'im le. But now, the Omer of Yochad, Samchirna Kapila Armo, clearly that was the intent of the Braita. But Ochinami, Samchirna Kapila Armo, the Omer Rova, Omer Rabbana B'taima, V'Omer Rabbana B'Kapila, V'Omer Rabbana B'Shishim. Hilka, Min B'She'eno Mina Dehetera, is B'taima. You get the coin to taste it. Di sura is with a goy, a kapila. Min bemino, where there's no way to taste, like a lamekamataima. Inami, min bisheno mino, where it's iser, and there's no kapila nukhra around, then the stam way of being mashayarit is 1 in 60. Hanu at mahata, di imlichu beresh galuta, begida nasha. Sravina asar. And Ravacha bar, the stam the girsa should be just plain Ravacha, was shori. Otur shailu lamar bar Ravashi, amalu abba shori. Omele Ravacha bar Rav l'Ravina, my date, di omar Shmuel, beliach areo kiroteach, kavushu areo kemavushal. I mean, Shmuel himself said
that the only time that we asa the entire thigh is where it was nitbashelba. But if it was only nitzlaba with roteach, then you're kolefo chalat shemai bialagid. And don't try to tell me that when it says roteach over here, it means roteach of a mevushal, because that's kovosh. If it's kamar kovosh is kemevushal, then clearly roteach is only ketsui. Gosh. Omri b'chanina, kishahin misha'arin, misha'arin berota, v'bekipa, v'chatichot, v'kideira. Ikedam, when we say kideira, we mean literally the metal of the kideira. Ikedamri b'may debal a kideira originally. Omri b'abao, omri b'yochren koli, sorinchi b'torah, misha'arinan, ki'ilo hin batzal, v'kaplot. Omri b'abao, rabaya, if you're looking for something that gives a lot of taste, I got better suggestions. The Sharina Bepilpilin or Tavlin. We're over there, I feel a bell of flow batilin. Omale, because Sheru Chachamim, the in no tintam be isurin, yoter mi batsal the kapalot. Nomre vapen. Gid beshishim the ein gid minaminyan, kal beshishim, but the kal itself is minaminyan. Beitza beshishim the ein beitza minaminyan. Omre Yitzchabreder Misharshia. Kal atzmo is osir, even though its volume is included in the heter. The inafel kedera acheret, even it would still osir. Omer Vashi ki avina berivka anar iboyla. When we are mishayer the amount of chalav in the kal, do we take the entire volume of the kal, or just estimate by the nafak mina misharina? And he said pshita de bididei misharina. Because where would you be able to make a estimation of such a thing? So then if that's the case, it means that we're assuming all of the milk is out. So then, well, that's because given the Omer of Yitzchak and Misharsha, kal atzmo asur, once it's asur, shavur rabbanan kechatichad nevela. And we assume that that meant the baits of an unkosher bird. And therefore, Amalei Raviti Baravan Abaye, that's weird. Because Lamema de Yoiv Taima? I mean, don't people, when they want to talk about something that's completely tasteless, don't they say, Amri Inchi, Ki Maya de Baby Alma? Amalei, it's not talking about the baits of an unkosher bird. Hachamai is kinu beitsat Efroach, which is an Aveva. This means not tmeot, it means tmeot with the beitzat efroach. Am I called it tmea? Because the efroach makes it the equivalent of a tmea, called it tmea. But don't make any safer. Beitzim shishokan v'nimtza efroach v'achat mea. Doesn't that make it clear that the reish is talking about where it was just an egg without an efroach? And that's what we're referring to. Nah, you could say perushik ha-mefarish. Beitzim torot shishokani beitzim tmeyot. Im yesh b'menotei tam kolam asurot. Ketzad, continues the brighter. What do I mean when I say tmeyot? Kagon shishokan v'nimtza efroach b'achat meyot. And by the way, what else can you say? Reish is talking about that even without an efroach, it still gives a taste. I mean, for heaven's sakes, if Ashtar the Lesba efroach, where people call that completely tasteless, you still say it's usher. So I need to tell you another case where Yitba efroach. That doesn't prove anything to me. I mean, even Shemalo Ayri. Because it may be that Tanaseva Leguluia Reish. Shalotomah, the ratio when it says Tmeya means that it has an Ephroah. But without that, it would be Mutter. Comes along the Sefer to say, no, until now we've been talking about non-kosher eggs. Now let's talk about a case to eat by Ephroah. And therefore, it will be clear to me that the ratio was talking about where there was no Ephroah. And nonetheless, the Brighter may be saying it's a Sur. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
So we're holding today on Daf Tzadik Zayin, and I would like to perhaps begin from Tzadik Vav again in the Mishnah so we can remember some of the very important issues that have been raised. Of course, we started early today. It's 8:15. In fact, we're pleased to have your own watches. This is very important, and as we noted, a number of extremely central issues. If you have an entire pie which the din anoshe was not removed from, so the Mishnah gives the shear as notin tam, and we don't know exactly what notin tam means, but the Mishnah explains notin tam would mean that you take an equivalent amount of meat to be the gid, and you see how much of that would have given a tam in the equivalent amount of lefet, so if you have turnip for the meat of the thigh and meat for the taste of the gid, mix those two in the same amount, and if you could taste the taste of the basar in the lefet, then you have to assume that you would taste the taste of the gid in the basar. Now, this raises a number of issues right off the bat. First of all, it appears that even two things that at the same time would have a bittel. That seems to be dependent on the question of whether min v'mino is bittel. This min v'mino bittel. It seems that the whole sugya is based on the assumption that min v'mino is bittel, and that we create, in order to estimate whether it would be a taste, we create equivalent situations and test it out. So to speak. We'll see there's other ways that perhaps we could do it. But as we know, there are big machlokes as to whether min v'mino is bittel or not, and there's machlokes in Rishonim how we pass it. That we're going to talk about as we go along. That's the first obvious thing that we have to consider. That's called min v'mino. Now, if you have the shiur given over here as the gid in the yerach, in notin, but mashma, that it's only the yerach. In other words, it's not mashma that we include over here the rest of the things in the pot. As a matter of fact, with the continuation of the mission, where the other things in the pot are specifically mentioned, in the case we have gid an asher shenit bashel im hagidim. So there, bisman shemakiro, if you could throw out the gid, you know what it is, all you have left is the notin tam. Imlav, if you don't know which one is the gid, then kulam asurin. Apparently, all of them will be asur, no matter how many you have of the other. Perhaps because the gid is a biryan, it's kosher. This is in the Gemara. But what's important is that the rotev is certainly benotin tam. Now that's where the tam of the gid is in the sauce. There it's clearly that the tam of the gid in the sauce, as much sauce as there is. Sauce. We didn't mention anything about the sauce being mitzdarev to the shear of the yerach in the first part of the Mishnah. That's something else that we have to take into consideration. Now, the Gemara pointed out yesterday that there's a difference, as Shmuel points out, l'shana l'shinit v'shelba, that this is only if it was boiled, avon nitzla, if it was broiled in it, then you can continue to cut away at it until you get to the gid. Now here again another issue is raised, which is how about the area right around the gid? Would that be osur? Or literally until you get to the gid? Again, it's something that we have to consider. And we'll see dinim of klipa, b'chtei klipa, or b'chtei netila as we go. Ask the Gemara, is this true? Didn't Ravuna say Gedisha Tzavo Bechelbo Asur LeEchol Afilu Mirosh Ozno, that if you had the equivalent case in which there was a chelev instead of an anoshe that hadn't been removed and you didn't boil it now, you roasted it, that nonetheless the entire thing is Asur even though there was no medium to spread the taste. So that how could Shmuel say that in a case where there's no medium that you can go ahead and eat the entire thing except the actual thing itself, cut the yarko. Gemara was machalik yesterday between chelev, where the chelev becomes the medium of dispersion of its own taste, since it's mifafeya, and the mifafeya would also the entire yerech that it's in, mashenkein, the gid itself. A gid is not mifafeya, requires a medium for taste dispersal. There's no such medium in the case of what was nitzla, and therefore the entire gid remains mutter. And, of course, this leads us to the problem of what about the actual chelev of the gid? And there's also chelev of the gid, isn't there? So what do we do with that? Tosus asked this question. We spoke about it yesterday. And we explained that according to the Rabbi Natan, actually, I don't think I mentioned Rabbi Natan yesterday. I mentioned the other Ashita. But the Rabbi Natan suggests that the chelev of the gid is not a chelev that's mifafeya. Now this is connected to the sugya later on that's bachalik between chelev kachusha, that there is chelev that itself is not kochush. And this is the same Rabbi Natan Pshita here who says that the chelev of the gid is not a chelev that is mifafeya. It's also the Shita Rabbi Natan who says that the chelev of a kochush is not mifafeya. The other approach to chelev kachush is that there's simply not enough chelev prorated. It's a kachush animal. How much chelev would it have? And therefore, even though it is mifafeya, of course, according to that, you have to give a teretz over here. You give another teretz over here. And even if it is mifafeya, since the shuman of the gid is only Yisroel, basically, Gedershav or Gedershav, the Rabbanan, they weren't gozer in a place where the gid itself is a dozen oser. So yet, first look at the gid. If the gid has oser, at the time of the gid is oser in this case, then the chelev is oser. But to ask something, the gid wouldn't oser, the chelev should be oser. That they never ask. That was the other approach. Now again, this also raises the more fundamental question when it comes to the gid on nasha, whether it yesh beginim and eisim tam overall. When it seems that the entire sugya is based on the assumption, how can we understand the mission yesh from eisim tam, that obviously there is such a thing as eisim tam beginning. Again, if we learn that it's l'chela by gid, then all the sugya falls apart. Okay. And this is where we were up to yesterday, I believe. And we could continue on from Ahikokush Habe, okay, which is on the fifth line down. So the teretz that we gave was that chelev of a kokush. Yeah, we did, but I can do it again. Ube chelev asur, is it true though that with chelev it would be asur? Ve'omer Rabba bar Bachana uvda'ava kamid Rabbi Yochan v'knishta de ma'on. There was a maisa that had come to Rabbi Yochan and the Beit Knesset of Ma'on, where a gedi had been broiled over a rotisserie, you know, over an open fire with chelev. And they came and asked Rabbi Yochan, and he said, you could be chelev v'yayecho, even though it's chelev. And he didn't say it's mifafeya b'kulo, and you have to be mishayer, the chelev, in the entire gedi. And she said, Gemara, who kochush habe? And this is where we discuss the issue, how to understand that. Either, as we said, the Rabbi Natan Pshita, that kochush is not mifafeya, or an animal that's kochush doesn't have enough chelev to ask the entire gedi. Ravuna Bar Yehuda Amar. Ravuna Bar Yehuda says the case over there was, many learned that this means additionally, it came before Rabbi Yochanan, there was a love of Shailas that had to do with Chalev, was that the case was a Kulya Bechelba Avi. There was a Kulya that had been roasted in its own Chalev. And there you have the Chalev of the Kulya, of course, of the kidney is Asr. So Shailas was the whole thing Asr. And interestingly enough, he was moderate. The reason that he was moderate, as we'll see, is because of the thick krum that prevents the spreading of the chelev throughout the kulia. And therefore, it only asered around the krum itself. Now, there was a fantastic application of this recently. And you know that the minhag in the States is to sell the processed chickens with the liver in a little plastic bag. And what often happens is people forget to take out the plastic bag. They throw the liver, they throw the chicken with the plastic bag and the liver into a stew, into a soup. This is the famous tshuva of Rav Meisha. So Rav Meisha paskin that a plastic bag is the equivalent of this krum. This is the case of the Gemara, basically the kuya with its chela. This is the case of a plastic bag with the lip. And therefore he was matir because it's not mifafeya, basically. He was machmir to take off the kripa, maybe his little hold, but certainly the plastic bag says it's not going to be less of a preventive of leakage than a kroon. So this gemara turns out to be nerdea all the time. Ravuna bar Yudah amar, kuya b'chelva ave b'shar. Okay. Ravi bar Avada amar, akilkis b'ilfis ave. Actually, what happened, and this has fascinating implications, it was an anchovy that had fallen into a meat stew. Okay? Now, the anchovy, of course, is tripe. So now the question is, can you eat the stew? They came and they asked Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, "Litame kapila arma." Go to a chef. Go to a chef. Ask him to taste it, and see if he can taste anchovies in the stew. Okay, so this raises all types of fascinating things. First of all, the nemonis of the guy. Why are you miming a guy that he should tell you? You're talking about this. Secondly, it raises the question of why can't a Jew taste it and not swallow it? Is there a tasting? Right. Thirdly, it raises the question, does this come to exclude the normal din of Shishin? Is this the equivalent of Shishin? Again, all these issues we're going to discuss. But the most fascinating part of this video over here is that it seems to deal with fish in meat the way that it deals with Isser v'heter. Now, of course, the shaila is if fish and meat is a question of sakana, which bring a raya from here, as we see later on, that a fish that falls into is considered to be musuke. Can you bring a raya from here to the question of what happens if a piece of your filter fish falls into your cholent? So it should be bottle, according to this, the same shear of kapilar ma. There are others who taina. You can't be Madama Sakanda Lisura. What about the Sugya of Kilkis? Therefore, they taina, but this is all fascinating stuff, that the din that we see later on of the Sakana is only a fish that is tar with meat. But a fish that's not kosher is not a Sakana when mixed with meat. As a matter of fact, there are others who say there's only one particular type of fish, which happens to be tar, that would be Misukan. It's not fish in general that are Misukan, since we don't know how to identify it. So, of course, we're only machmer on kosher fish, because we know that meat is kosher. But that would mean that in such cases, you couldn't rely on a being Mishayer Bishisha. There's a big machlokus. Rav Avadia is safe asking for the Sfarim that it's okay. But there are many, Ashkenazi Shaposki were very, very machmer on this. On this issue. But it's also many other issues, such as would you say a din, let's say, of Sveik Sveika by a Sakona? Maybe some years ago, to be sure. Sveik Sveika is similar to the din of Rove, according to some, in which if you have Rove studim, it's equivalent like a quantum mechanical wave. In other words, it's a Rove, a theoretical Rove. Right? Because basically, if you take Rove of the possibilities, so Rove of the possibilities are against it. So you have the equivalent of a possibility wave. It's very interesting. It's the same idea in defining an electron orbit. The possibility wave. Okay, so according to this, if you wouldn't be so mad, which I'd be a mean tar, because of the issues of Sakona, so then you couldn't compare Sveik Sveika either. And that's actually how the Ashkenazim parsed it. So let's deal with some of these issues one by one. No. It's not a din in the cable. It's a din in the actual consumption. Here we're talking about the kilkis actually from kilkis.
But we must even not to use the same.
We're not.
Fish for a fish and use for.
That's not because of kalin. It's because there's actual fish on it. So if you're not the same enough on shishu, that would be a terrible thing to use your fish for. In the cholent. Let's throw out the cholent. In any event, let's go through it.
Anchovies
aren't kosher, are they? Is that the problem of pizza with anchovies? They have fake anchovies, right? retrieve it. You're the bhakti and pizza. Anchovies are a kosher fish? In Richie's pizza parlor, they used anchovies?
We had anchovies with a big OU on it. I mean, I didn't
real anchovies? Okay, so
I don't know if they're real.
I guess the kielkis is anchovies. I know.
Actually,
I think they have a special thing they call kosher anchovies, which is not a real anchovies.
I think it may have been anchovy sardines or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
They have a sardine that they call anchovy. I think the meat itself of anchovies is not kosher, but that's in any event, let's go through it. So the shaila of the ne'emanus of the goy over here, first of all, would have to be mesiach lefi tuma before, because if you know that you're being sent on a gabi kashrus, he might want to mess you up. Okay, but then there's other issues. Is the din of the te'ima kapila specifically because why does it have to be a chef? Why don't you just call your neighbor? So there, the time that might be, there's two issues that are involved. One, as Tosis raises over here, a goy doesn't want to be mopsed as an ammonist. Let's say he'll tell you that it tastes fine. There's no taste of the tummy fish in it. And then you taste it, and obviously he said, what kind of jerk are you? I would never use you as a chef. So his professional standing is over here at risk. So maybe that's why we need it. Another possibility is that we need it in order to make sure that we have somebody who is sensitive to taste. Stama person may not simply be practiced enough to be able to taste an anchovy that's mixed in such a large proportion. So that's that possibility. And then the question is, what about a Jew? Why can't a Jew taste them? Is there this or in tasting? So if you'll tie in Chatzushir would be also in a Torah, but that's only because it's Roy Litzitaruf, the Gemara says, Chazi Litzitaruf. Over here, Tom is not Chazi Litzitaruf. Therefore, there should be no Isser in a Torah anyway. Why would we ask, you say there's an Isser now of tasting where you don't swallow? Because maybe you'll come to me, what kind of Svara is that? Even if you would eat it, you wouldn't be over on the din of an Isser of Midiraisa. And so, indeed, there are many who say that if there is no kapila nuchra, and let's say it's nogea, it's right before Shabbos, and you won't have anything to eat for Shabbos, and so on and so forth, then if you're careful not to swallow anything, it's actually you would be allowed. The reason that we say kapila nuchra is because we don't want you to come maybe to swallowing it, so we say do it this way. But in a pinch, or a pickle, or a terlefes, then you'd be able to actually lick it if you're careful not to. No, there's no such thing.
Why is he
tasting about this? We'll see about that. That was the other issue that we raised, and that we'll talk about when we read the next piece of the sugya, which is machalik between shishim in this case. Omar Rava points out that mireish avikah kasheli. I never understood. Let's say the famous case kedera shabisha b'basuri basha b'chalav. Don't use a flesh to pot for cooking milkers. Boy, that's amazing, huh? Vim bishel. Imagine, there was a time at which you had to be told that. That's like, didn't Avram have, where Yamaka is? Vim bishel ba. The nice thing, if you used actually a fleshke pot to cook up your espresso, so then there would be nice and tam. Or truma. You use the pot to cook truma. Lo yivash b'chulin. Vim bishel b'naisim tam. So you have to see if there's a taste of the truma and the chulin, then all the kohen would be allowed to eat this. So I always used to wonder, v'bishleim of the truma, I understand. You can ask a kohen, could you taste this? If the kohen says he doesn't taste any of the min of the truma that's in it, so then even a Yisrael can eat it. Okay. But who are you going to trust for the bazar b'cholah? And the bazar b'cholah? Montanely, who would taste it? Because it never occurred to me that you could rely on a goy. But hash the Yom Rav Yochanan, samchina na kapila armah. Now that Rav Yochanan has pointed out that it's okay to rely on a professional, even though he's a goy, samchina na kapila armah, then I understand that the gabi basav acholav, it would be no different than the case of the anchovy. Why wouldn't we rely on it there? And that must be what was meant by benosein tam. Benosein tam wasn't a technical term, meaning some particular given shiur. It was literally benosein tam. Now, what has happened in the course of generations is that the Ashkenazim have stopped relying on kapilan armah. And the Rambam, that's because the Rambam paskens that today the minhag is not to rely on Kapila Rambam. We always go with a shear of shisha, no matter what. However, the Sephardim never had such a psalm. And the Shulchan Aruch brings the din of Taina. And it was only fairly recently that they began not to be semech on a Kapil Arma, which leads to nafkaminas, because if you're an Ashkenazi, it's a very interesting halacha here, because it has very practical implications. If you're an Ashkenazi, even behepsed meruba, the Rama paskins outright. Kapil Arma is not reliable. So therefore, you're going to have to stick with shisha. Now, it's possible if a Kapil Arma would taste it, so then he would have said, I don't taste any milk in this. Right? You give him taste. He said, listen, chef, can you taste any milk? Taste it? No. Can't taste any milk. And this will be fine. Well, why would I need shisha? I know there's no time of cholov. Buzz of a cholov is only the time. So here the question is, even though there has recently developed a minhag not to be semich on this din of Kapil Arma for a Sephardi, it wasn't the psak that said you can't rely on any of that. You'll have some meruba. So in Achinami, perhaps in meruba, the Rebbe said, you're safe, Paskin, but you're allowed to. So now the question is like this. An Ashkenazi who wants to ask a Sephardi to do him a favor, okay? So there, the Shaila is like this. Rebbe Yosef says, look, you should give the Sephardi the Shaila as a gift. Because then it's not that he's being okay, because he's really the one that's asking the Kapil Arma. Give him a gift. Okay. Let the Sephardi go and ask the Kapil Arma. Then, when the Kapil Arma tastes it, so now the Ashkenazi still can't be semich on the Kapil Arma, but now we can tell his Sephardi neighbor, could you taste this for me and see if it tastes like Moshe Makolov? If the neighbor then said it's a Jewish thing, it's not Moshe Makolov, so the male then he can eat it. Now, there are some who have claimed that this is simply an attempt to do for the Sephardim what the Egyptians did to the Mitzrim. What the Israel did to the Mitzrim. They had to pay anytime they wanted to take a drink of water. I thought it was only a Sephardi you can taste it.
Well, like chain mail pouches.
So, okay, another fascinating dialogue is that's Kapil Arma. Exactly. That's why to say it's time a dinner of shisha for all foods seems to be only because there's no alternative. We have to give the maximum. But like this, you have every food you'd be able to taste particularly. It makes much more sense. Omar Rava. Basically, if you take a look at the language, you have to be medakted. You find sometimes the Rabbanan use days and time. Sometimes the Rabbanan say the words Omar Rabbanan v'tayimah. Stam Nesantah. Omer Rabbanan b'kapila. There's places where they said, use a doctor. And there's some places where they say, use Semech on Shishi. Now, I'll tell you, the way to look at it is like this. If you're talking about Min Gusha'ino Mino, where you're dealing with Heter, such as, for instance, the case of Chulin and Truma. So there you've got Heter, in other words, there's a Jew who can taste it. Okay, so over there it's the timer. There it's literally the timer. Ask the Kohen to taste it. If he doesn't taste any truma, then even Yisrael can eat it. Where you have min, b'shein amino of Isura, such as the case of the Basar B'cholov and so on, over there you can't have a Jew taste it because maybe it's Isur, but you can have a Goy taste it if he's a professional. So over there, the Kapila. How about min b'mino? Min b'mino, by definition, you're not going to be able to taste it. So what good is it in me to taste the same? Loikala meikam ataima. Or for that matter, even mean b'sheino mino of the Isura, where there is no kapila around, the leka kapila. So over there, you would rely on shishim. Okay, there's some question, and we'll see later on Rashi holds, that the din of shishim would always be true once we pass in shishim. Because Rashi learns this sugya was before we were posik ha'elchas ha'gemire in shishim period. Once we had passed the halacha of shishim, the kapila arma would be a chumrah. That since it could be tasted, don't rely on shishim.
and shisha would only be mimimino, then if that's the case, then the whole discussion that we had previously would fall apart. But the other Rishonim disagree with him. It's a completely different approach. Hanu at mahata dimlisa be reish galusa begida nashia. There were cases by the reish galusa's house where he was famous, by the way, the reish galusa, for having shilas in his kitchen. The avodim of the reish galusa were very arrogant. And basically, you know, there were shilas all the time. They had... There were many people who wouldn't eat there. The Gemara brings mice. So there were cases over there where they found that the entire thigh had been cooked in, not cooked rather, I mean salted in the with the Gidan Asha together. So what happened is that Ravina asked it because it had been salted. And Rav Acha bar Rav, it does not Rav Acha bar Rav Asher, Rav Acha bar Rav was matir. They came and they asked Marva Rav Ashi, and he said, I know that Lamaisa Rav Ashi, my father, was matir. I'm Rav Asher. Omele Rav Acha bar Rav la Ravina. So Rav Acha bar Rav told Ravina, I don't understand, why are you answering it? My diet, I assume the reason that you're answering it is because you're relying on Shmuel's psak, that salting is the equivalent of being roteach. So in other words, you're saying that salt is the equivalent of heat. Okay? That's what you're saying. So maliach areo ki roteach, kavush areo ki mevushal, and something that has been pickled with something else, this means it's been sitting in liquid together with something else, where it's a type of either vinegar or spices that is capable of pickling something, that then it has the same din as being cooked together with it. Well, if you're relying on Shmuel for this, remember that Shmuel himself pointed out that the Mishnah that was discussing the problem of a giranosha cooked in a yeref was only talking about mevushal and not tzli. So therefore, the most that you've come up with is a reason to say that this yerek was hot. But even if it's hot, it wouldn't matter. Because if you put it on a rotisserie, it's also hot. And yet Shmuel said that the rest of it was mutter to eat. You could be kailah by yourself. So I'm Shmuel Oshono Lashini Dvat Shelba. Avonit Salaba. Kolefil Chalachem Agielagi. Had it actually been broiled, then you wouldn't have answered the entire thigh. So why, I don't understand what you've done. So you're saying, okay, it's as if it was broiled. No? So what if it's as if it was broiled? It's still mutter. And what are you going to tell me that when Shmuel said that if you salt something, he means, when he says that it's hot, he means hot as if it's being cooked in a medium, kimavushal. That's ridiculous. Because in the same line, the next words are, that if it's kavush in a medium, then it's as if it's mevushal. Mashma, then if it's only salted, then it's not the same as being mevushal in a medium. That's the difference between the word he uses for malicha, which is roteach, and the word that he uses for kvicha, which is mevushal. So that's the whole point that Shmuel is making. That by salting it, it's the equivalent of broiling it. No? Okay. So broiling it, so let's say it's broiled. No? What's Shmuel Paskin about broiling? That the whole thing is mutter. So I don't understand. Now, the Shultis, it says over here, Shmamina. In other words, clearly, I've proved to you that you're wrong. Not Kasha. Kasha means, okay, there's some kind of Teretz. We know what Teretz is, but there's a way out of it. Omre Bechanina, you should know that Kishen Misharin. Misharin berota v'bekipo b'chatichot u'bekidera. When we make this estimation of shishin that you said before, when we say it should be 1 to 60, the 60 includes first of all the sauce, second of all it includes also the kippa itself. The kippa is the thick mixture that you have, which is not really sauce. It's sauce that's mixed together with, you know, the small little pieces of meat and of vegetables and so on. So it's that, it's a thick, it's a, what would you call it? No. No, it's not the thickened. It's more like a solid that you find at the bottom of a pot, which is very important for soul food. But I don't know if it has a particular name in English. But anyway, it's called kipa. Then, of course, in any chatifas that are in the pot. And with the pot itself. Now, the question is, what is meant, potter, by the pot? Others learn that means literally with the pot itself, meaning that you take the thickness of the pot and you say, okay, that too absorbed, and we should include it. And others say, that it's with the assumption of how much liquid was absorbed by this pot. Now, this seems to be assuming that you first had a pot that was cooking and that therefore did not, you can't prorate. So you had first a pot that's cooking, has absorbed the water, and now something falls into it, and now you're going to say, okay, since the pot already absorbed, then initially we saw there was this amount of water, now there's less water, let's be mishaer what there was at the time that it fell in rather than what it is that we see now, because we have to attribute some of that loss not to evaporation but to the continued absorption of the pot. Later on, the Gemara is going to say that if you're talking about absorption, then it should be prorated, because ultimately the whole thing really circulates and you have prorated isvahatra in the pot as well. There's some, by the way, who learn just the opposite. This is not rational. Some learn that the word kedera means not the pot. Kedera atzma rather means kedera atzma, what is in the pot and only what's in the pot, meaning not the pot. The exact opposite of the way that Rashi is learning. Tosis actually points out, I mean, if you've got the pot that has, let's say, 50 kizesim worth of pot, and you put into this pot liquid, let's say, of 10 kizesim, right? And then a kizayas of chalef goes in. So according to this, you're going to say one kizayas of chalef is bottled in 10 kizesim of water, because you have 50. I mean, obviously the water is going to taste of chalef. Yeah, well, who are we fooling? We say the taste of the chalef now is removed from the water because it was put into the pot. I mean, that seems absolutely crazy. So therefore, Tosfos learns the whole halacha over here is of pots is referring to a case not where you have a mixture in a pot, but rather where the problem is what was absorbed in the pot in the first place. In other words, where you're coming to be Mashiach using a pot that had been trained for, been used for something else. So are you Mashiach the entire thickness of the pot? And say, well, the whole pot is trafe. So if the pot is 50 gezeisim, then the pot is trafe. And you have to have kenega the whole pot. Or do you say, well, look, how much did the pot absorb from the mixture? And that's what it is that you're Mashiach in. So if you only cook the kezeis, how could all 50 gezeisim of the pot now be part of the mixture? And that would be what the question is. That's what you're supposed to do. This is a good. This is a good test. See if he actually thinks he waited to do something. Okay. So there's two ways, therefore, in the Gemara. I mean, more if we include the various Kshatim over here of learning the Kedera Atzma. But as we pointed out, for some reason, the Mishnah said, but refers to the yerek. What happened to the actual pot and to the moisture and to the rota and the mechitza and so on? How come we ignored that in the Mishnah? We pointed this out yesterday and said that we're going to get to this question later on. We don't seem to be Mishnah and anything else now. This leads us to a question that's going to come up later on, the Gabi Basu B'cholam, which is this halakha of including the other things in the pot, is this said if it's in the pot or if it's in the medium? In other words, suppose you have five pieces of meat in a pot, and you've got moisture on the bottom in which this is cooking. So there is a medium. And now some milk falls on the top piece. And you Mishire connected all the pieces, and you say, well, hold on a second. I mean, the top piece wasn't in the medium. The bottom piece was in the medium. So the whole point over here is that the taste spreads throughout because of the medium. How is it going to be spread? So later on, the Gemara indeed is the problem between cases where you cover the pot in order to cause steaming, or you mix the pot. But if you didn't, so then you wouldn't use the medium. Now, there's a big machlokes what that means. Does that mean that a piece literally couldn't have been in the medium? Or does it mean that the part on which it fell wasn't in the medium? So therefore, it's simple to learn if you hold that as long as the part that it fell in isn't the medium, okay, fine. So then by definition, that's always the case over here. I mean, we could be talking about that in the Gabi Dagid, the Yerachim Zbashko Gid, and we have a whole Yerach over here. But if you hold as long as any piece is there, then you have a problem. You'd have to say that this Mishnah is talking about indeed where there was no medium, basically, because it hadn't been covered, hadn't been mixed, there wasn't sticking into the medium, and so on. But how to learn this Mishnah would then be dependent on the sugya later on. So it's important to keep that in mind. Mediums are not magic. And the medium is a reality that the taste is going to be spread. Omer Rabbi Abu, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yisurim Shebetorah, Misharin Kivu Hin Batzal VeKaplut. When it comes to defining, before we said in the Gid Anosha that we have to examine it in an equivalent to meat and turnips, right? Here comes on Rabbi Yochanan and says, well, now that's Dafka by Gid Anosha. Gid Anosha, even if we hold that Yesh B'Gidim Menos in Tam, certainly the Tom is not the equivalent of most good red-blooded American tastes. Right? A Gid is not going to go in McDonald's. So in normal Isurim, actually, you have to assume that the Isur has a very pungent taste, as if the Isur is onion or turnip, and now if an onion or turnip would have given taste in the thing that is the heter, then that's how to be Mishayer. Now, again, as Rashi explains, this is Rabbi Yochanan coming up with a alternative to the idea of Shishin, because Shishin had not been proposed. In other words, so now that we said before, we saw with Rabbi Yochanan, who had the whole idea of Te'ima, of a Kapila Nuchro. What about in the case of Minbamino, where Te'ima is impossible? I mean, it tastes exactly the same. So what Rabbi Yochanan says is, okay, so then what you do is you experiment. Take the equivalent amount of whatever it is that the medium was mutter, and now your word has become aser, and make the iser into an onion. Put an onion into that, and see if you'll taste the onion. Why onions? I mean, if you think, you might as well take peppers. And then, I mean, a pepper, you'll have a taste in much more. Because that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. That besides Tavlin, in Isurim themselves, not in Tavlin, they know in Tam Isurim, you'll tell me about Salva Kapalot, you don't have, unless obviously the Tavlin itself is also. The case with the Tavlin is also, you can have it's not bought. Anything that's Abida Lataimo, we'll see later, is not bought. In the same way, the gelling agents aren't bought and so on. Because anything that makes itself known in the Taruves is not bought. All right, but over here, in terms of Isser itself, this is not made for Taima, it has time. Those things are not going to be more pungent tasting than Batzel and Kasset. Omer of Nachman, Gid Bishishim, but Ein Gid Min Haminyan. Normally, when we have Shishim, we have 62-1, not 1 in 60. So when we say Echad B'Shishin, that means 1 in 60. It means 1 to 60. However, when it comes to Kal, you have a different situation. Kal is B'Shishin, and Kal is Min HaMinyan. So the Kal is the other. 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 The other item. So, why is this? The Kal itself is Min HaMinyan. The situation with the Kal is unique, and it has an entire simanim dedicated just to it. And the reason that it's unique is because actually chalav that's found in a dead animal is not osur midiraisa because at all. Chalav shchuta is not considered to be basur b'chalav. So be'etzem the chal, the milk in the chal doesn't osur any of this. Since, however, midrabbanan, there's a problem. So, but it's said like this. The chal itself is not a problem. We're not going to osur this. It would be permanently creating a new isur in an organ that we won't do. However, the chalav that is to be found within the organ itself, which gathers together in these little milk cysts, right? The gumais, as they're called. If you haven't torn it open and removed all of that, is what you're supposed to do, then that milk becomes usur because of the tam of the chal in it. So we, that much we'll do. We'll usur the milk. If you have now a medium that spreads that taste throughout, since the basar of the chal itself doesn't become usur, we don't view it as a chaticha nasis nevela, because that would have been the equivalent of creating a new piece of nevela in the animal. So we didn't usur, because the thought was only drabbanan. So memela, what happens now is that you could be mitzaref the chal to the shishim, because the basar itself is mut. This is how many Rishonim understand what's happening. The Rambam speaks out that the reason that chal is mina minyan is that since the din of basar shchut is on the Rabbanan wanted to make basically a kula in it that people shouldn't get confused, and to recognize this way they'll always remember chal is mina minyan, must be something special about it. But not because it is a lomdus of we don't say chatika nazis nevel in this particular case. Okay. So now, this being the case, we have two shiurim, one 260 and one in 60. Beitza b'shishim, the in beitza min haminyan. If you have a beitza, the assumption over here is that it's the beitza of a non-kosher bird, and it gets mixed up with other eggs, and it's telling us you need 60 to 1. Omri gitzim b'reidim m'sharshio, you should know that the kal atzmo is osur. The actual kal itself is osur because you have over here, and this is what we're talking about, l'chora, where, that brings this as a girsa in certain gemaras, hefer l'kari, where it hadn't been torn open before, and you've now cooked it together, it's osur. Why don't we say that the chal would be usur even if it wasn't cooked together with other meat? This is problem. Chal was usur, we're talking about over here, only where it turned out that there wasn't shishim, including the chal in there. So now you should know, in that case, the chal itself does become usur. And so it doesn't say that that's the case. If you're viewing it as usur b'chal, why isn't the chal always usur? You just say, a chal that you weren't going to should be usur. Okay. So the first it says that's because it's dependent on how to understand the sugya later on in Kol HaBasur. There's various Roshonas. The Gemara did not want to get into the reason for where Chal Atzmo is mutter, which we'll talk about later, and left basically this issue hanging. So now let's see a little bit more as we go through the sugya about this. So if that's the question, therefore, is, how about if now enough of the kedera acharet? How about if this chal now falls into another kedera? Then it would asur as if itself is asur l'chor. Says Rav Ashi, that wasn't so obvious to us. Yavina be'rekani boilon. We asked kimisharina. So you say it fell into something else. How exactly are we mishayir it? Are we mishayir it with the entire thing? Are we saying how much of the iser that was in it, now the milk that was in it, that it absorbed the basar b'chalav, came out now into this new mixture? So he said, what do you mean? It's obvious, isn't it? It must be that we were mishar with the thing. I mean, how could it be otherwise? If you're going to tell me, b'mayde nafik minayadina, how would we know how much was yotze? So therefore, if we're telling you that the shear is that if it falls at something else, it does, it's got to be the thing itself passes. Wait a minute. So if that's the case, is the Gemara Lamiata, Nafla Kadera Acheret Lo Yaser. If that's the case, you're telling me that you use the entire Kal to estimate the iser in it. That means that you're saying that everything in the kakal has gone out into the mixture. If everything has gone out into the mixture, so now this kakal is now mutter. If it falls into something else, it has nothing left. Because we were already mishired in the first. Now Tosus asks, what do you mean? Maybe it was just a sophic. So maybe all he was saying was, look, I mean, we don't know how much, therefore we should be mocker and say it should have the whole thing. But I was never suggesting that it really does absorb everything that was in it and so on. I mean, how does he want to jump to conclusion that what he was saying was? Misharina Bakotitas says, look, it's clear that the Gemara understands that the question was whether, in fact, it's something that is partially going out or wholly going out. And his response was, and you see this from the way that the Gemara responds here to the analysis that he makes, that if it was Bekule, that if it was partially, how would we know how to be Mishayer? That basically what he was saying is, look, if we wouldn't know that it goes out, we wouldn't have been Machmer Baslal. If we're being Machmer, it's because we hold that in a new mixture, everything in it is going to go out. That's the point. So if that's the case, if you're telling me that everything goes out, so then why is it continued to be Osir? Now it falls in something else, which is say you've washed out the Isser. Just want you to know, as an aside, that Tosfos compares this to the din of Epshila Sohatol, which should, Epshila Sohatol means, can you squeeze out Isser? Now, again, we're going to be seeing a lot more of this issue later, because it seems to relate to the question of Chatif and Naseh Nevela. In other words, the question is, if you have a particular mixture, then that piece that became us in a particular mixture now falls into a large pot of Heter. Can we now say that in the renewed mixture, we basically have washed out the Yisr that was in this thing? Let's say we had a piece of meat that had been cooked together with a Nevela. Now it has a time of Nevela in it. You can't eat this piece of meat. This piece of meat now falls into a kosher meat, which has been made treif by Nevela. It falls into a pot with tons of other things in it. Can the Nevela be washed out of it? Or do we say that the Isra of the Nevela remains in this piece? You can't wash it out in a new mixture. What do you mean? Anybody who's ever oversalted knows you can recook even more water. What are you laughing at?
No, I'm not laughing. It's just the idea.
Yeah, so that's called Epshilus Ofto. Is Isser squeeze-outable, basically? Tosis compares the issue of here of the Chol, which is, as we said, only a din in the Cholov, not a din in the Basar of the Chol. But the Cholov in the Gumos has absorbed the time of the Basar, whereas the relationship to the Chol itself, we'll see, is very ambiguous that the Rabbanim did not answer the Chol with its Cholov. So therefore, Tosis says, okay, so the question of here is, if you cook the Chol, does that mean that you would have been makir, basically, the kal because of Epshila Softa, which drives over here the Ripti Vega crazy, because this has nothing to do with Epshila Softa. Epshila Softa is where something is absorbed. To compare that to the question of whether milk in milk blends is wash outable has nothing to do with whether Tom of Isser is wash outable. What in the world is this talking about? So it's Gedai to remember this because we're going to be getting to this of Epshilus Alto later. I'd just like to give you points along the way just to become familiar with some of the words that are being used, because they become very central in understanding the post-Gim and so on. So now, if that would be the case, it was not for Kedera Acher, it's Loya Acher. Ah, because the answer to that is, Kivin Dom Rav Yitro Breden Rav Misharashah, Kal Atzmo Asura. But since we say that in the case in which it had been fallen into a case where it wasn't mutter, so then we said, once we have now the milk that had been mixed together with Fokus Mishishim, Aser is now that Kedera, the Kal itself becomes Aser because of the taste in the Kedera. So even though we didn't Aser the Kal per se with its own milk, but the Kal became Aser now together with everything else. Once the kal itself becomes usur, shavua rabbanan kechaticha de nevela, we have to look at it as always usur. Once it becomes usur, it always is usur. Now, of course, this leads us to the famous question of whether chaticha nasis nevela is possible to say on other Isurim. Remember the Machlokas of Rabbeinu Ephraim with the other Rishonim. Do we say Chaticha Nazis Nevela only where the Mocher of the Isur was? Two things of Heter that suddenly form a new synthesis. So obviously it's the new synthesis that's Osir. It's not the taste of the milk in the Basar or vice versa that's Osir. It's the taste of Basar B'cholav that's Osir. Once you have a piece of meat that is Basar B'cholav, you can't wash out the cholav and say now it's not Basar B'cholav. The meat became Isur as if it's Nevela. There are those who learn. Take a look at this sugya. Why is the kal usher over here? It's not usher because of usher of kalav, because the kal in its own kalav does not become usher. It's usher because of the kalav of the kal that spread through the entire mixture of its pachas mitzvah. So now that the other meat is usher, the kal becomes usher in that mixture. But wait a second. The kal itself isn't usher because of usher of kalav. It's usher because it absorbed the taste of the nevela. And yet we're saying the cow became a nevela, from which we can prove that if you cook a piece of meat together with the nevela, the kosher meat becomes nevela. And therefore, Chaticha Nazis nevela should be able to be expanded into all Isurim, which leads to the problem in the Mishnah, as Tosis points out. If you hold that Chaticha Nazis nevela, then how can we take the Yerev and say that in cooking up a Yerev, you only have to worry about the shear of the gid itself in the yerev. If you hold Chaticha Nazis Nevela, wherever you have something that is double to something else, and the medium acts slowly, so therefore the first thing that happens is that there's definitely time in the area around it, because as the thing is heating, before now it's actually cooked up, the area directly around the gid absorbs the taste of the gid. According to the Shitas of all Chaticha Nazis Nevela, there should be a certain amount of meat around the gid that becomes Nevela, and therefore you cannot be Meshayer, the Yerech, in the gid. You'd have to Meshayer, the Yerech, in the gid plus the Basar around the gid. So the Mishnah seems to be proclaiming that the Shita that holds that Chaticha Nazis Nevela does not apply to these cases is absolutely right. Right? So in other words, the Shita Rabbeinu Ephraim seems to be proved from the Mishnah. Okay, this is the issue that Tosfos raised. Otherwise, we'll have to say that when the Mishnah says gid, it means well, actually, the gid and the bus are around the gid. Again, I'm raising these things not to finalize them, obviously, because we're about to have so much fun. But these are things that need to be remembered. The din of Chaticha Nazis Nevela, the question of Epshel Sochto, the question of whether Chaticha Nazis Nevela is Bishari Surim, or only in Basar B'cholav, or mixture Isurim, such as the Rabbeinu Ephraim says. Okay, so those are our nice issues today. Remember the words, Kapila Arba, the question of Shishim, Min Menino, Min Mishen Omino, and the Chaticha Nazis Nevela. Good. Keep a list of those words in your brain.
You will be tested on that.
In the Shabbai, there is a horrible medrash to talk about the Mifchan. You don't want to know about that
no,
one.
No, no, not at all.
Starts with Chumash, but keeps going on.
Kosher meat.
Well, we're going to get there's all kinds of questions. We'll get to the college. Wait, I'll let you go on. By the way, the Mifchan and the Shamayim, unfortunately, is given over a trapdoor.
Direct.
Jump right off the